Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
If you haven't tried Superbeet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Superbeet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Superbeet Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Superbeet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
I understand the pain that people are feeling. We support the right of peaceful protesters, and we hear their pleas. But what we are now seeing on the streets of our cities has nothing to do with justice or with peace. The memory of George Floyd is being dishonored by rioters, looters, and anarchists. The violence and vandalism is being led by Antifa and other radical left-wing groups who are terrorizing the innocent, destroying jobs, hurting businesses, and burning down buildings.
And that, not a single word in there is incorrect. Welcome to the show. Wow, do we have a lot to discuss today. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. And our new start time, by the way, for the show, which everything is still going to be carried simulcast live on channel 248, Pluto TV via the First Network, and Facebook and YouTube as well. A lot to discuss and a lot to update you on. DanaLash.com, I have a bunch of stuff getting ready to go up there throughout the day and later on this afternoon as well. And I started building the show last night, and I was trying to figure out, okay, so how are we going to start this? Because looking at the 30,000 foot view, there's just no way to put it. It's awful. It's absolutely awful. There was so much destruction and violence and just all over the United States in major cities, actually even some non-major cities, because Fargo, North Dakota, apparently, in Fargo. I watched that movie from the Coen brothers. Those people are just as sweet as pie. Everybody, how does that protest go? Oh, yeah. How does that go? These are the types of shows. These are really, really difficult to do because I'm an editorialist, clearly, but at the same time, I want to make sure that you have the latest information. And I don't like the bias and the spin and everything else that comes out as a result of this. And we're going to talk about that too. The president, in after seeing all of the rioting and looting across the United States, and I have a note on this because I'm getting to this later, how some of the media is trying to say, oh my gosh, Trump was in the bunker at the White House. They set one of the guard shacks on fire outside of the White House. And then there was the church that thankfully didn't have serious damage that was set on fire last night, I believe. I also don't know who put it out to the press that Trump was moved to some kind of bunker or what they thought they could gain by doing that. I thought that was a stupid idea. And who was it? Piers Morgan, who I always said, I wish conservatives would stop blowing smoke up his butt because he's going to turn on people. He always does. He's a coward. And he was joining along with all the other legacy media folks. Oh, the president, he's nowhere to be found, except for the fact that he had designated Antifa as a terrorist organization and had also put the military on 4 hours of notice, which is a whole other separate topic, and has been meeting with governors, etc. And that's what the media has been trying to spin. And I really do believe that there are certain legacy entities that are trying to fuel the rage as much as possible. And USA Today had a very interesting piece, and I'm going to get into this too. They had a very interesting piece because they were discussing how these protests, when you look at the number of people, the outside agitators. And look, I'm not saying that there aren't people who live in these towns that are not rioting. I'm sure as hell there are. But I also understand, having been doing this for over a decade, the extent to which outside groups are brought in, because I have literally seen it with my own physical eyeballs in cities across the country. I was there in Chicago at one protest, and I watched no fewer than 5 buses come in with people. I got it on videotape. It's on my website still. I've been to so many of these different events where I've seen this stuff. I've seen organizers, quote unquote organizers from Chicago, brought into my hometown of St. Louis to train agitators. I've written about that. It's still up on my website. I've just experienced it too much, so I have no naivete about how these individuals get involved to exploit tragedies and turn peaceful protest into riots. I have seen it. I know who some of the people are that do it. I know for a fact that in some of the riots past, that people have been paid. That's a fact. Google the cut the paycheck. Google hashtag cut the paycheck. There's some receipts for you. That was in the early days of Ferguson, when they were bussing in people from Chicago. Those Chicago organizers were back in swing. And they were teaching people and training people with unrest tactics. This is how you start something. This is how you can flip a crowd. This is how you can antagonize the cops. They were paying them. In fact, one of the people through which they were paying them, because you had the Chicago organizers that were bringing people out, and then they had their associates in St. Louis that were also paying protesters. It's the former Acorn office that James O'Keefe busted, and they turned around and they renamed themselves Moore, M-O-R-E, still in the same neighborhoods. And it was through that entity they were paying protesters. And then when they stopped paying protesters and protesters didn't get the pay that they were promised, protesters staged a protest outside of the protest organizer's office. And they made the hashtag cut the check trend, and it received national media attention. Google it. So, yes, I know for a fact it is indisputable that this has happened in so many different instances before. I would be genuinely shocked if it wasn't happening in this place. Furthermore, a friend of mine, I'm not going to say their name, lives in downtown Dallas, was talking about how their spouse, outside of their spouse's work, overnight, a pallet of bricks magically appeared. Now, my friend is not someone who is hyper-political. This is not someone who is on social media fueling all this stuff. I don't even know all of their politics, to be honest. That's just not a focus for them. But they were like, wait a minute. Why were there bricks? It's what the employer had noted. A pallet of bricks magically appears. Not a construction area. There's no buildings being worked on anywhere around where the employer's property is located. Why was there a pallet of bricks that magically appeared? And it wasn't just in Dallas that this was happening. Other cities, this was happening too. It sounds weird for me to say this, because I am so anti-conspiracy theory that I will triple check myself before I share information with you on air. And that's been happening. People have pictures of it. They have video of it. Surely we have some closed circuit television footage out there somewhere showing how this stuff is getting on these streets. Which brings me to my point. USA Today has this piece. The headline is this: there are anarchists. Minnesota officials say outside agitators are hijacking peaceful protests. Now, what is it when they were saying that all these outside people, they're the ones who are doing this? And then the media was like, well, we just happened to see that a number of these people actually arrested are from this area. Yeah, is that all of them? So you can say beyond a shadow of a doubt that you know for a fact that people aren't there organizing and just making appear randomly on various streets, pallets of bricks and all this stuff? Because I call shenanigans on that. I don't buy that. Not at all. USA Today says that these people in small groups dressed in black, carrying shields, wearing knee pads, most of them appear to be white. They carry no signs. They don't speak to reporters. They're trailed by designated volunteer medics. Jeez. And those are the ones that you see. I have to tell you, I saw one video of people in Dallas, and they were throwing stuff. What was it? I think it was a Bank of America building. I know where it is downtown. And they were throwing bricks in the windows, and it was all white people. It was all white people throwing the bricks in. Now, I'm not saying there are not videos where you have black protesters who are doing destruction, carrying that out. But I've seen the people throwing the bricks in the buildings and the windows. Those are the same people that carry the Antifa flags, because I've seen that in videos too. Minneapolis mayor, who's a big lefty goofball, he said that the protests in the city last Tuesday, they were largely peaceful and organized by local residents. He goes, but the dynamic has changed over the last several days. Yeah. They have. You know, and you can, all these protesters and the rioters, first off, I understand the protesters, where they're coming from, and we're going to talk about that. We got to have some uncomfortable conversations. But how are you blaming Trump for policing in a historically Democrat city? And all of these cities where we've had all of these problems, who's been running these cities? Who appoints the chiefs? Who sets the policies for the department? Because it sure as hell isn't Republicans. I'm not being political. I'm just giving you the facts. If that disrupts your narrative, you're the one who's being political. Not me. So even over the weekend, they vandalized the World War II Memorial. War Memorial. A lot of black heroes' names are up there. Men and women. How are you defacing the World War II Memorial? What in the world? And so now, the president has designated Antifa a terrorist organization. This means a lot of things, which we're going to explore, because it does set the stage for charges under the RICO statute. Anybody associated could fall under this. And I actually don't think that's wrong, because it is organized. I've told you how I've seen it before. It is. Now, over the weekend, also, Texas Governor Greg Abbott and a number of other governors across the country activated a National Guard. And Bill de Blasio incited. This is something else. Bill de Blasio, he has said some of the most awful things. Audio soundbite 13, this is one of them.
I have not, I'll always, Dave, tell you what I know and what I don't know. I've not seen the specific words coming out of the White House or actions, but I can tell you this, and this is the blunt truth. The President of the United States helped to create this atmosphere, and that's the tragedy here. Doesn't matter what your party affiliation is, doesn't matter what you think of President Trump, there's been an uptick in tension and hatred and division since he came along. It's just a fact. And it's not
what's a fact,
the reason for any specific act, but it has helped to poison the atmosphere. So we got to get back to leaders talking about unity.
Okay, why don't we start with you? It's all these people. They want to sit here and go, let's talk about unity. Okay, why are you not ever the first to volunteer to do so? We're going to discuss this and a lot more. We're going to get into what that designation as a terror group means. We're also going to talk about some of the violence, some of the craziness But then there's a lot of good that happened, too. We're going to discuss that. Celebrities bailing out rioters, but not the businesses that the rioters burned. We've got that for you. We're going to be talking with Bernie Kerik later on in the program. We have a lot, so buckle up. It is a super packed show at a brand new time. If you haven't tried Super Beet Soft Chews, you are missing out. Super Beet Soft Chews are a delicious snack you can take on the go and support your heart health. Super Beets Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beet Soft Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did and support your heart health with delicious Super Beets Chews. Get your Super Beets Chews today at danasbeets.com, and when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeets.com to get a free bag of Super Beets Soft Chews when you purchase 2. danasbeets.com.
Watch all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on Facebook, YouTube, or The First, channel 248 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
I like to reappropriate that song with a fist in the air. All right, so we had murder hornets. You know, this is not going to be good. Now a viral disease is confirmed in La Quinta mosquitoes. This is in California. They say that there are no report. I don't even know what to call. This is like a thing. St. Louis encephalitis. That's apparently a virus that can cause flu-like symptoms and in rare cases death. They said so far there are no reported human cases of the St. Louis encephalitis. Why is it called St. Louis? According to the district, but officials are still telling people guard yourself against mosquitoes, which, sidebar, why do they exist? Seriously, the first question I'm going to ask God. Why mosquitoes? That's the first one. And then really, actually, it is. And then the second one's like, so Area 51, what's that? All right, moving on. Minnesota AG Keith Ellison, his son says that he officially declares his support for Antifa after the president declared them a terrorist organization. Yeah, that's Keith Ellison's son. I wonder where he learned that. Not quite sure. And also, speaking of politicians' children being arrested, Mayor Bill de Blasio's daughter was also arrested at a Manhattan protest. New York Daily News, I'm not a big fan of them, they reported about a pair of Brooklyn lawyers, including Ivy League corporate attorney, is charged in a Molotov cocktail attack on a New York police cruiser. We have a lot more coming up. Stick with us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
An incident that happened in a systemic racism. There were several incidents, including an incident that happened in a park in New York that was nothing but systemic racism. So when we look in the mirror and we talk about racism, it's not just the law enforcement side of it. It's embodied in the greater community, and we all have to own that as well.
That's the rally police chief. She was supposed to be saying that they're not going to put an officer in harm's way to protect property inside of a building. That's not what she said, though, at all in that audio that I heard. So I don't know why the ever-loving hell we played it. Welcome back to the show. At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. So this situation, because I've seen a number of people try to excuse or brush past the audio, burning and the looting and everything else by saying, "Oh, this is just property. It's just property. You don't need to worry about this. It's just property. Don't worry." And you're telling this to people who have been locked down for several months. By the way, what did you think the hell was going to happen to people's psyches after they're locked up for 3 months under house arrest? And CNN is not helping at all. audio soundbite 21. It's like they're excusing it. Listen to this.
So people see violence and think that people are just taking advantage of the situation, and there may be some people who are. I don't know that every single person is doing this born out of pain, but I can tell you many people are. We've seen it. They don't know what to do with that emotion, so their response, what? Especially young folks, is to lash out. And one of the young folks, we talked to him on your show. You had him on your show. A young man who was from Minneapolis who said, do you see all this damage here? You don't listen to us when we speak, so you listen to us now, don't you? So acting out gets attention. And they know that because the other way hasn't gotten them the attention. It hasn't done anything. It hasn't changed anything.
So this is one of the reporters there with CNN that is, it sounds like they're kind of excusing it. It sounds like they're kind of excusing it here, the way that they're talking, the way she's talking about this, the way that she's presenting this. I am just, wow, with this. It's not just property. It's also people's livelihoods. These people whose businesses, and a lot of these have been Black-owned businesses, by the way, they just about have lost everything already because of this pandemic, because everyone was forced to be locked down, and they would still be fully locked down if Democrats had their way. And then now they have everything. Now they have this. I saw somebody looting a Hot Topic over the weekend. Who loots Hot Topic? Who loots a Hot Topic? What is wrong with you? Were they goth kids? They don't even, no self-respecting goth kid is going to loot a Hot Topic. No, he's going to even go to a Hot Topic. You all know that's resale. But who does that? And then they looted a Cheesecake Factory. I saw a looter walk out of a restaurant on video with a whole cheesecake. I am not exaggerating. A whole cheesecake. How do you loot a cheesecake? How does that even know? I mean, how does it? Yeah, listen, this is 16. This is an anchor from Seattle.
The experience you have covering these protests, Deborah, and it sounds like from your experience, you see someone actually walking away with a cheesecake there.
Yes.
After the Cheesecake Factory
this
was
is like
looted.
Golden Girls, the riots? Gosh dang. Walks out with a whole damn cheesecake. Are you okay over there? Kane's dying. Are you okay?
All right.
Gosh. I have not seen that. Now, they spared the Waffle House in Atlanta. Right? It was in Atlanta that they spared the Waffle House?
Yes.
Because apparently some of the rioters were heading to Waffle House. And apparently the protesters, the rioters were like, well, wait, everybody. Like some of the rioters stood in front of Waffle House with their hands up. Saying, don't do it. Don't. Yeah, leave it alone. They will not burn down the Waffle House. So then they just went on to the next business. I mean, what did Waffle House do? Waffle House didn't do anything to George Floyd. And then you had political cannibalism in 90210, which was, that was so ironic. You had all of these protesters, and apparently, were they looting on Rodeo Drive? Because I didn't see video or photos to that effect, but I saw it all over Twitter. People were saying, oh my gosh, they're looting Gucci.
Yeah.
You're going to have some really nicely dressed people today. Just saying. They were all over Rodeo Drive, and they looted the stores on Rodeo Drive, and then they were standing in Beverly Hills saying, eat the rich. They were chanting, eat the rich, eat the rich. Not unlike the Aerosmith song. That was a great album, by the way, sidebar. That was an amazing album. And then there was a rioter who accidentally set themselves on fire because they, I guess, did not, that's, oh, wow. It was the Market House in Fayetteville, and rioters, they're not protesters, they shattered the windows, and then, this is in North Carolina, and then one rioter actually set themselves on fire. Yeah, because that's, whew, my gosh, that's pretty unbelievable. And there was also progressives that had their stuff wrecked. There were progressive newspapers, Indy Week, a progressive paper in North Carolina. They were super mad. Rioters busted up their building. And what did you think, that you have some kind of like progressive immunity? I mean, this whole idea that, oh, yes, go and burn their stuff. Wait a minute, that's my stuff. This one journalist just says, I'm devastated. We're a progressive newspaper. And? What the hell is that supposed to mean? There was also some good out there. Sheriff Chris Swanson. This is in Michigan. Genesee County Sheriff Chris Swanson, who I was reading also was one of those sheriffs who did not enforce Whitmer's orders. This was amazing. I want y'all to hear this because this man brilliantly de-escalated what could have been a bad situation in under a minute.
Yeah, my man. Pastor Hawkins here. I'm just going to tell you, we want to be with y'all for real. So I took my helmet off and laid the batons down. I want to make this a parade, not a protest. You got little ones here. You got dogs. So what's up? So listen, I'm just telling you, these cops love you. That cop over there hugs people. So you tell us what you need to do.
Walk with us! 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 Walk with us!
Let's walk with us!
And then they march. It could have been a rough situation, and it was de-escalated. And we got to, I'm going to tell you, too, that we're going to talk more about this coming up in our next hour, because I do actually think that there needs to be some things done with policing. And you can believe that for the people who are drive-bys and still also support law enforcement. Now, clearly, I obviously do not know what it is like to be black in America, but I do know what it's like to deal with crooked cops. I had one, Chief Art Acevedo, threaten me one time simply because I criticized him online. This man came at me, said he's going to drag me into court. He threatened to abuse his position to come at me because I had the audacity to criticize him. And I'm like, if Art Acevedo polices like this publicly, what the hell does this man do when there's nobody watching, when there's no cameras, when there's nothing else? That's a scary thing. And that was just, you know, I only have a few incidents that I've personally experienced. So that's just like a whiff of some of this other stuff that we've seen. You do have bad cops out there. You have a lot of good cops out there. But you have bad cops out there. This is not something where conservatives should be terrified to say this. You're not losing any kind of political capital by saying this. I hate this damn political tribalism where it's like, if you say one thing, oh, well, you better turn your conservative credentials in. And usually the people who demand them have been sitting on their ass while you're out there doing the heavy lifting. And they're holding that credential off of the legacy of everybody else's hard work. I hate that. That somehow, oh, well, I guess you're not conservative if you're stating a fact that doesn't jive with our narrative. That's what the left does. I'll be damned if I start doing that for the sake of anything at all, even conservatism. That's not conservatism to lie. I can't stand that. No, I was looking at all of this stuff. There's video of people helping to clean up. There's video of protesters protecting a Target from rioters. Yeah, hell, you even had the Amish out, right? The Amish that were singing. Can I be totally honest, sidebar? When I saw the video before I played it, do you know what came into my head? Okay, so Derek from Step Brothers in the car with his family doing the a cappella version of Sweet Child of Mine. And I'm like, if they would have done that, though, that would have been super amazing. Just saying. But they were singing hymns and stuff, and they had their song. I mean, the Amish were even out. They're just there singing. And you had all kinds of, there were some good things to see. One of the most powerful things I saw happen in Louisville, Kentucky, where one officer was separated from the rest of his team and a bunch of protesters black men stood around him and in front of him. And it was, it looked to be either a white or Hispanic officer. And they stood around him and in front of them with their arms out to protect him from the rioters. And I watched, I think it was in Chicago, as the crowd was dragging these cops on the ground, two officers. And you know who stepped up and got the rioters away? Women. Women did it. I watched as a group of women ran in and they stuck their arms out and they formed a circle around the two officers. So there are some good things to look for. And I try to balance it out. I don't tweet all of this stuff out, and I didn't send it all to you in the last night's newsletter. And I could protest video or publish video after video on the website. But you know this is out there. You don't need me shoving the video in your face. I will say this, though, as it relates to Austin, Texas. This made me mad. I watched as, and it was Big League Politics had posted this video. It happened, and it's awful. There was a homeless man, his mattress and his belongings, and rioters in Austin. See a lot of white people standing there. Rioters in Austin, they burned his stuff. They burned his mattress, and it's an older man. I think that there's another guy who's being mistaken for this older homeless man, because there's another guy down there. He's like Kale the chicken guy or whatever. But it's the older man who's had his stuff burned, not the other one. And they burned his mattress. They set his mattress on fire. They burned all of his stuff. And do we have this? I don't know. Well, he cusses. I don't want to. It made me sick. It made me sick in Austin. Isn't that like the capital for people who claim that they love their fellow man, right? Isn't that like the big thing? Austin's about love and weirdness, right? Everybody can love each other. It's an InfoWars video, but it still happened. I don't care who put the video out. It still happened. This broke my heart. It's unbiblical and it's unchristian, what was just done to this man. I'm going to abridge the scripture in the New Testament, but, you know, woe to the people who mock the poor. Woe to the people who do this to those in poverty. There are a couple of different GoFundMes, and I'm not quite sure which one is the most legitimate. I had donated actually to one that it was a reporter down in Austin, they were talking to this individual, but apparently that one was suspended, so I'm not quite sure. I'm not going to put anything out about it until I am further certain that we know who this guy is, but the older dude here, he's heartbroken because that was all he had. And he even says it to the camera. He's like, this is all I had in the world. How are you going to protest the injustice done to George Floyd by acting like the cop who did it? Because that's what I see people doing. I mean, this makes me sick. This is just sickening. That's just nasty. That's awful that people do this. This is a nastiness of the soul. Now, coming up, celebrities are bailing out the rioters, not the businesses they burned. And it's America, where you can be arrested for buying seeds, but not for burning down a Target. We're going to talk about that and the continued justification by some in media to say it's just property. Plus, the idea of designating Antifa as a terrorist organization. How is this going to work? We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about policing in America and a ton of other stuff, including business owners who used their Second Amendment rights over the weekend.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Head to DanaRadio.com for the latest videos, blog posts, and podcasts.
I live in the high-rise right back here, and I seen them as they came down Lake Street. But then they turned and started coming over here, and I'm sitting out looking out my window. they went straight to Office Max, the dollar store, and every store over here that I go to. I have nowhere to go now. I have no way to get there because the buses aren't running. These people did this for no reason. It's not going to bring George back here. George is in a better place than we are. Last night, I'm going to be honest, I wish I was where George was, because this is ridiculous. These people are tearing up our livelihood. This is the only place I could go to shop. And now I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anywhere to get there.
That's heartbreaking. That was a woman. It was in Minneapolis. And welcome back to the Dana Show, danalash.com. She was terrified from what she saw with rioters and the two grocery stores that she could go to ransacked. You know, I've been hearing from a lot of people in some of these areas. There's one individual whose wife, someone that I know, whose wife needed medication and a serious health issue. And the Targets around them were closing because of fear of rioting. Stick around. We got a lot more on the way. The Dana Show.
This segment of the Dana Show podcast is brought to you by Kel-Tec. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation, performance, Kel-Tec. Visit them at KelTecWeapons.com.
As we've begun making arrests, we have begun analyzing the data of who we have arrested and begun actually doing what you would think is almost very similar to our COVID. It's contact tracing. Who are they associated with? What platforms are they advocating for? And we have seen things like white supremacist organizers who have posted things on platforms about coming to Minnesota. We are checking to see, do the folks that we have made arrests on and that we have information, are they connected to those platforms?
So that is the public safety commissioner there in Minnesota blaming this stuff on white supremacists. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Our new time begins 11 to 2 Central, 12 to 3 Eastern. DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter. All 3 hours simulcast on YouTube and Facebook. Official Dana Lash and Channel 248 Pluto TV via the first. So I know that the Minnesota Public Safety Commissioner, we'll call him Joe Schmo, I know that he was intending for this to be like, it's white supremacists, so it's like some kind of a Trump thing. I know that's what he was doing. But here's the thing. I don't disagree with him. I mean, I've been seeing all of these skinny, fat, hipster jean-wearing white Antifa people with their Antifa flags throwing bricks and all of this stuff at people. I've been at buildings and causing violence. I mean, I was watching one video where there was a guy chipping up part of the concrete in the sidewalk so he could use it to throw at cops. And the peaceful protesters who were black got him and literally dragged him over to the cops and said, "Here, take him." And he was arrested. That was pretty sweet. Yeah. So I have a piece that is kind of explosive that's going to be going up on DanaLash.com. Because when I think of the Antifa Bra Force starter pack, I think of a moronic understanding of basic civics and political concepts and, you know, like the skinny fat body composition and the newly purchased via capitalism black hoodie and this like self-aggrandizing fantasy that you're saving the world by looting a Target, right? That's like the Antifa Bra Force. I watched one Antifa chick. I should have sent you this video, but I forgot about it until just now because I've sent you so much stuff. There was one chick who was like in her Antifa black and she had, I guess it was a tire iron, and she was trying to bust this giant like storefront window, and someone was recording it off their TV and they were laughing hysterically because it didn't even like bounce. She was hitting it and nothing was happening and she was giving it her all. And I've seen other videos like that where it's like, what is the purpose of that? What does it even do? Now, I'm going to say this too. they because I made mention of this on Twitter over the weekend, and I said, yeah, okay, you know, you're Antifa bruh force. I mean, come on, we know that Antifa, I mean, they seem to be more white than, I'm not saying there aren't black members of Antifa. I'm just saying that predominantly featured in every video from Portland to Chicago, they seem to look like white trust fund socialists. Just saying. And they're bitching about capitalism while literally predicating everything they do off of it. And so I was actually criticized by, I guess, what I would say the alt, some of, a couple of members of the alt-right, and who isn't, they're not a fan. They hate me to death. They hate me. And I always thought it was kind of funny, you know, so I was thinking, okay, Antifa, alt-right. Alt-right is just another version of Antifa. It's a progressive ideology. It's an ideology that hinges everything on identity politics. And if you're using identity politics as your argument, that's a leftist, that's not conservative. That's a leftist, you know. So I had the alt-right bruh force starter pack. Also a moronic understanding of basic civics and political concepts. Bad form from gun bunny insta practice as opposed to consistent training in a variety of environments. And self-aggrandizing fantasy that you're saving Western culture by adopting a progressive ideology, a destructive progressive ideology of identity politics. So I had a couple people who were supremely offended that I criticized white Antifa. And I guess like the line is supposed to be that you, I mean, are you... You're so committed to identity politics that you won't even criticize the white Antifa members? I mean, really? I mean, if you feel that your position in culture is so precarious that you can't even bring yourself to criticize the destructive leftist white interlopers, then your case is FUBAR. Just FYI. I mean, that's... So when all of these like addle-minded politicians out there are insisting that it's white supremacists going out and doing this, yeah, I agree with them. That's what I think the Antifa is. I agree. You're right. It's the same white supremacist ideology that wanted to keep free black American men and women disarmed and helpless after the Civil War. It's the same white supremacist ideology that hides behind the banner of gun control today. It's the same ideology that never motivates its advocates to help any community, much less the black community, except when there's a tragedy to exploit. So, yeah. They're not wrong there. I mean, people are free to disagree. But I don't recall seeing any of the people who do actually ever on the ground with me or other people that I know at any of the other previous events in my hometown or elsewhere. So, yeah, I do think that the white leftist identity politic Antifa belief set. Yeah, I think that's white supremacy. Absolutely. And I mean, if there are anybody on the alt-right that wants to defend Antifa because Antifa is predominantly white, well, okay, go ahead. Choose your poison. Go ahead and do it. So there's three things I'm going to touch on here. First off, this one's going to be quick. It's a New York Magazine back in 2015 had a piece. Jonathan Chait wrote it. New study shows riots make America conservative. And I know that the media is trying so hard to have this operate not in this manner. Back in 2015, there was this huge study that took place. And it actually took place after there was another one that took place after the 1960s. And so this one was comparing nonviolent protest activity and public opinion from these two eras. And they looked, I mean, it was quite persuasive. They said that whenever there's, I mean, long story short, whenever you have times of well, like riot and violence and all kinds of stuff happening, you have this swing towards law and order. That's not going to really go the way that the media wants it to, but the media is trying desperately to boost Joe Biden. Some of this stuff is crazy. So first off, we know that Joe Biden is, because he finally... made his, what, second campaign stop? I wanted to pull this story up, too, because Reuters had a piece about how Biden's staff are donating to a group that's paying for the bail of the violent rioters. They're not going to bail out the businesses that the rioters burned, but Biden will bail out the rioters who burned the businesses. That seems unhelpful. And he visited a protest site, and he's trying to act like, oh, I'm just, this is, I look how good I am and how I'm such a leader. Here I am. And at least he's wearing a surgical face mask this time. But I mean, the media, the way that the media is trying to boost him is ridiculous. Hillary Clinton and the media seized on this. She had a tweet wherein everyone was talking about the White House turning its lights off, the lawn lights and the exterior lights off last night. Unbelievable. Has that ever happened? And Hillary Clinton took a picture of the rainbow colors on the front of the White House and then compared that to the White House where there's no lights on the outside. And she says elections matter. Vote. Well, long story short, what they're not telling you is that the lights at the White House, the exterior lights, go off at 11 p.m. every night. I was speaking to a friend of mine who has lived in D.C. for quite some time, and they were telling me, because they had a little apartment, they said, just like a few blocks away from the White House, that yes, the White House exterior lights go out at the same time every night and have for forever. And so media people and people like Hillary Clinton are playing on you not knowing that because you don't live in D.C. Hell, I didn't know that. And that's why I started asking some of my friends who live there. They're counting on you in flyover not knowing that. So that they're trying to get this narrative of Trump's MIA. Where is he at? He's hiding in his bunker. That's the narrative they're trying to roll out here. But they're not telling you that even when Barack Obama was in the White House, the exterior lights went off at 11 o'clock literally every night. Pretty unbelievable. So business owners have been using the Second Amendment to defend their businesses. I have seen video and photos of a number of different cities on my timeline at DLash on Twitter. And I don't blame them. I mean, I've watched video of, like, for instance, Columbia, South Carolina. A general manager of a restaurant was knocked out cold and robbed because he called the police on the mob attacking his restaurant. I've seen a woman who was beaten by an angry mob after she was peacefully in front of her business trying to persuade people to not riot and loot it. And she was savagely beaten outside of her business. Her husband went and grabbed a golf club, or the other guy with her there went and grabbed a golf club. You're really surprised that people would want to arm themselves to protect their businesses? I mean, What do you think? You're going to come in and there's all this video of people getting beaten in broad daylight. You don't owe that to anyone to get beaten. I watched another guy get kicked in the head just from trying to help a woman who was also attacked by an angry mob. I mean, this is crazy. So there are a number of they even robbed our sisters in Chicago. A library that's run by nuns. How are you breaking in and looting that? Good night. I've watched so many of these videos. I watched a reporter from AL, Alabama, al.al.com. A reporter was out with her cameraman, and they were just simply reporting straight no chaser what was happening. And her cameraman was attacked, taken to the ground, and stomped on by an angry mob. So yeah, in Santa Monica, all kinds of business owners have been taking this into their own hands. I mean, you've heard some of these elected officials say, we're not going to send police. And now you have armed business owners. I watched a cigar shop, an armed owner of a cigar shop, run people out with a shotgun. This is like the rooftop Koreans back in 1992 in the L.A. riots. There's a great documentary on that. And if you haven't watched it, I suggest you do it tonight. Koreatown. There in Los Angeles, after the riots were just, the city was burning. You saw a video of Reginald Denny being ripped out of a truck and beaten to the point where he had brain damage, suffered seizures for years after that. And these Korean business owners realized, oh my gosh, we're not going to know, the cops can't even get here. And in fact, police were told to avoid that intersection where Reginald Denny was pulled out of the car. And so all of these Korean business owners, they got rifles and went up to their rooftops. And they told people, we don't want to do this, but if you're coming here to cause destruction or injure life or take life, we're going to shoot you. And they did. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. And they protected their businesses. I mean, rooftop Koreans is like a whole, you know what else I heard too? There's another friend of mine who said that even the Latin Kings in LA were saying, we don't want none of that here. Don't try it. That's getting real. Cooler heads need to prevail, but there you desperately need to understand that there are forces out there that need that to not happen. We're going to talk even more about it. We're also going to talk with Bernie Carrick coming up. We have a lot to touch on still, and I'm going to try to get through as much of it as possible. Anything that we don't touch on here, I'm going to throw up over at danalash.com. And I also want to talk about Marco Rubio's response. Should police also lose qualified immunity? This is a big debate that is now, you're going to hear a lot more about this, and we're going to talk about that too coming up. Should police lose qualified immunity? We'll have that conversation because we have to have the discussion about policing in America. We do. I mean, look, we're all about truth, right? So we're going to get to that and much more. Patriot Mobile is introducing new pricing on all new lines for a limited time. 25, 35, 45, 55. That's right. Plan pricing is now only 25, 35, 45, 55. Let their U.S.-based team design a customized family plan for you. Patriot Mobile will never charge you hidden fees, and by switching, you'll finally stop supporting Planned Parenthood and gun-grabbing Democratic candidates. Patriot Mobile only supports the conservative values that you believe in. Did you know, so far this year, AT&T and Verizon have given twice as much money to Democratic candidates as to Republicans? Who are you supporting with your cell phone? Join me in supporting Patriot Mobile this month, and you'll receive an autographed copy of my new book, Grace Canceled. Switching is easy and can all be done over the phone. You get new lower pricing, 25, 35, 45, 55, and support your values with every call. Call 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Make the call today to 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana to waive all activation fees and receive a free gift.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Whew, so apparently CNN's Jeff Zucker is thinking about running for mayor of New York next year, according to the New York Times. He told one reporter there that he was considering a future in politics. He was asked whether or not he was interested in the most obvious role, which would be open next year in a city aching for leadership, mayor of New York. Zucker paused, said he didn't want his answer to cause a storm of news. Oh, boy. NFL players are upset with Roger Goodell's statement with regards to George Floyd. Kenny Stills and Eric Reed criticized it. Goodell had said that the NFL family was saddened by the tragic events. And those two players were not pleased. They thought Goodell could have done more. We got a lot more coming up. Short segment. That was my fault. Stay with us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This portion of the Dana Show is brought to you by Caltech. They don't make ordinary firearms. They invent better ones. Innovation. Performance. Caltech. Visit us at caltechweapons.com.
All right. We didn't see any presence outside of the third precinct.
I own that.
Which place?
Oh, let's talk about the shopping center.
You own that shopping center?
What I want to tell people right now.
Yes.
Is that if the governor and the mayor are not going to take care of this problem, people will. People will uprise over this. Those people that live make their business there, they're Korean, they're black people, they're immigrants, they've worked their ass off.
This is live news when that happened.
We understand. Hey, this is not.
Yeah, we understand this frustration.
We're live on TV.
I mean, it is there when you hear these business owners speak and these people in these neighborhoods speak, they are livid and upset and heartbroken and shocked. You're victimizing more people through this. And like I said, if you're mad and you're wanting justice for George Floyd, how do you do that by becoming the, I mean, for the lack of a better way to put it, the guy, the cop in that video? How, if you adopting the tactics of the thing that you, of the entity or the ideology that you oppose, doesn't make you better in your quest for justice. It means that you lost because you became just like the thing that you pledged you were going to overcome. Makes no sense. So we were watching all this stuff last night, and the riots that were taking place and the burning, the church that was burning just three blocks from the White House, and all of the violence that was taking place. And we had a big conversation in my house, and I actually made my oldest son sit down. I stopped the television because my friend Bernie Carrick was on TV, and I stopped the television and I rewound it because I wanted my son to listen to what Bernie Carrick had to say about policing and what should be done, because we were having a big discussion in our house, a big political debate in our house, as to the best way to deal with this and protect the innocent and bring the people who are causing the destruction and carrying out the violence to justice. How do you do this and simultaneously de-escalate a situation? And Bernie's answer last night, I don't think got near as much attention as it should. And everybody knows Bernard Carrick. He was the 40th police commissioner of the New York City Police Department, New York Times best-selling author, and a voice of reason in these times. He joins us now on the phone. Good afternoon to you, my friend. God bless you, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Dana.
So I have to, I guess the first question that I have to ask you here is that's the big struggle is, you know, you see what is happening in the streets, and my oldest son, for instance, and a lot of people around America are saying, oh, you got to bring the iron fist down. You got to respond this way with force. And then, you know, you have others out there saying, well, you need to have clear deterrence, and you need to act when people are committing crimes. You also have to incorporate de-escalation. What is the best way to respond to this stuff? Because there are some of these cities where I don't know what the mayors are doing. I've never seen anything like this. Your thoughts?
Well, you don't know what the mayors are doing because they're not doing nothing. And that's part of the problem. Under normal circumstances, Dana, what would happen is the political figures, the political leaders, they would get together with the community activists. They would get together with various community leaders. They would de-escalate. The cops would stand on the outskirts of this. There would be peaceful protests. Think back to the time of, you know, Martin Luther King and John Lewis and guys like that that would protest civil rights issues. You know, they would come together. They would talk to the communities. They would talk to the government. They would march. They would speak. They would, take control of the younger generation that was out there trying to act like a fool. And they would get things done. We're not seeing any of that today. You don't see any of that. You have mayors and governors who, unfortunately, are mostly left-leaning, radical Democrats that for years now have not been able to secure their own cities. You know, Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, Milwaukee, a number of them. Chicago, for example, this weekend they had 82 shootings, 19 dead. I would bet Baghdad didn't have that over the weekend.
Wow.
That's what happened in Chicago. Under normal circumstances, these mayors and governors, they're not securing their cities. They have high poverty. They have low economic income. They have low real estate values. They've let the cities deteriorate and destroy themselves. And now you've got this. So if anybody really thinks that they can control what's going on, you're either naive or just stupid. It's not going to happen. So you're not getting the de-escalation, and the cops have to go in there and instill peace through force. And the problem is, on top of the community unrest, which there may be some, real community unrest. There may be some, but we now have a national, probably an international movement with Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and some other groups that are spending tens of millions of dollars to basically create chaos in, you know, I'd say 60 different cities around the country. You know, 42 states have been impacted. If you think of a covert operation like we've seen over the last 4 days, this has to cost tens of millions, maybe $100 million to put this type of attack together, to send out the people that are out there doing this. Who's doing it? Young white kids, white men and women that are going into these minority communities, jazzing up these kids, getting them weapons. And I have to tell you, I talked about this morning. I urge mothers and fathers in the Black community, the brown community, don't let your kids fall prey to this stuff. You know, I give a lot of credit to somebody like Joe Jones, the UFC fighter. I watched him on a video, you know, take spray cans away from Antifa kids. You know, a young Black mother ran up to a car and basically told the guy driving the car, three people in the car who happened to be white, gave him, threw this brick into the car and said, "You just gave these bricks to these kids down the street. What are you doing? Why are you doing this?" Well, this is happening all over the country. And it's a left-leaning, radical, anti-American group that is very much like what we saw in the 60s, 70s, and 80s with the FALN, the Black Panther Party, the Weather Underground, the you know, Sam Melville, Jonathan Jackson Unit, the Black Black Revolutionary groups. It's the same mentality, the anti-American mentality, except now they have better communications, they have social media, they have travel. A friend of mine, a couple friends of mine, were in airports on Friday and saw a number of these young kids coming into New York City. And you can tell exactly who they are. But all my friends are cops, so they know exactly who they are when they see them. And they're basically saturating the cities.
Wow. And that is incredibly important. You mentioned, you know, the mom going up to the car and the moms and dads getting involved in this. I'm sure we're talking to Bernard Carrick at Bernard Carrick on Twitter. I'm sure that you have seen these stories of these pallets of bricks that have been, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but a friend of mine who lives in downtown Dallas, I'm in Dallas, said that outside of their spouse's place of employment, not near a construction area or anything else, overnight, a pallet of bricks appeared. And it was there when the spouse went to work. And I keep seeing them appear all around the country. And there are tweets. People are taking video and photographs. There was one that appeared in a suburban neighborhood in Frisco, Texas. Frisco, Texas, which is maybe, you know, 30 minutes from me, a pallet of bricks in the entrance to this subdivision. How difficult is it to even, if we don't even know who's behind it, you don't even really know what you're pushing back against or how widespread they are. This just makes it that much more difficult.
Well, honestly, Dana, as long as people's collecting this information, I'm probably aware of about 13 to 15 of these. The pallets with bricks, I think we're up to about 15 that I've seen or been told about. You have that. You have abandoned vehicles in certain cities that aren't really abandoned. They look abandoned. And then when you get into the trunk, they're loaded with Molotov cocktails. They're loaded with stones and bricks. What? Keep in mind, the Antifa members, the Black Matters movement kids, they're running around. If they're a part of this movement, they're not keeping anything on them. They don't carry anything. They don't even carry ID. They carry nothing. All of these tactics, everything they're doing is in the Antifa guidebook, the handbook. It tells them how to operate, tells them how to travel, tells them how to fight, tells them what to say and what to do. That's exactly what's going on. That's what we're seeing. But I will tell you, with the president's directive yesterday and the attorney general's movement on conducting a nationwide investigation to determine who they are, where they're from, what they're doing, and then charging them federally. And this is extremely important. Charging them federally for domestic terrorism, I think we're going to see a heavy hammer coming down soon.
And one last quick thing about that. We're talking with Bernard Carrick. You'd mentioned that the president made the announcement yesterday that Antifa is going to be classified as a domestic, or not domestic. They didn't use the word domestic, which is legally telling, and we'll talk about that too later, but as a terrorist organization. So correct me if I'm wrong, but that means that with that, by classifying it officially as such, that they can go after individuals who are organizing and engaging in this criminality under RICO statutes?
Yeah, that's just one of the elements, but that's one of the principal elements. Also, they can get into the financial backgrounds, because that's a major, major key here. Looking, who's funding this?
Yes.
I personally believe it's George Soros and people like him. That's what they're going to be looking for. Where are the funding levels? How is it coming into the country? You know, is there international participation? Things like this. But I think it's going to be a lot bigger and a lot broader than anybody could imagine.
Yeah, I think so, too. Bernard Carrick, I can't tell you how grateful we are for your voice out there. And I'm not even kidding. My youngest son, my oldest son, who's actually in studio with me, I thought you had the best explanation and the best approach to this. And I rewound your remarks and I had him watch them. Because I thought out of everybody talking, I was like, that he's making the most sense. He really are. I appreciate from a mother. I appreciate that. I really do. God bless you. At Bernard Carrick on Twitter. Thank you so much, my friend. Godspeed. Mm-hmm. Take care. We have a lot more on the way. We have Florida Man coming up, and we're also going to get into some of the other. You just heard us talking about what that means, that whole classifying them as a terror organization. We're going to talk more about that as well, including we're also going to touch on Marco Rubio. And whether or not, you know, what else are we going to be able, I mean, are we going to see this again tonight? Because there's more pallets of bricks apparently appearing. It's just weird. It's a weird time. We're all in this weirdness together.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to, has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Dana Show.
I want to play this at least till the choir kicks in. Playing solo from Kanye off his last album. This song is powerful. You get a choir in is powerful. You get a choir of people in singing hallelujah. It's powerful. I can sing this whole album. John 8:36, whom the sun sets free is free indeed. He saved a wretch like me. And then the choir. First time I heard this, I had goosebumps. For real. Powerful. So this is technically our second hour of the program because we started at a new time today, 11 a.m. Central, 12 p.m. Eastern. Not a big deal. We just moved up an hour. We're accommodating a lot of requests from different programmers across the country who are dealing with drive times and they want the full show. They don't want anything interrupted. And so because, you know, obviously drive time traffic, that's very important. So that's why this was done. Anyway, it's time for Florida Man. We still got that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, first I got, there's a goose.
That was a duck.
There's a duck?
That sounded like a duck.
A duck. Can I be real?
Yes.
They all sound the same to me. Duck
what?
And geese.
What?
Sounds like
geese
sounds the same.
Honk.
So I'm still
quack.
Like, I'm like, is this a duck?
They made a song about
okay,
it.
Okay, that sounds like a quack.
That's a duck.
Yeah, I know. That sounds like a duck.
But that's what he played.
But sometimes if they're like hyper or something, they can yell a little bit more. I don't know. Shut
hyper
up.
Ducks.
So I got to give props. Florida, NASA, SpaceX. This is a bunch of good Florida people story. They took us back into space. Not only did they send two Americans back into space so we didn't have to go on the Russian Soyuz at $90 million a seat, but we did it on a privately, in conjunction with the federal government, owned rocket, which is super sweet. I almost had tears. I was like so rejoicing at the privatization of it all. I was like, children, this is amazing. This is historic in privatization. Also space. A little libertarian part of my heart's crying. Yes, I know they're working with the federal government on stuff, but still, this is no other country's done anything like this. This is just, it's amazing. Also, a Florida man was accused of kicking a chicken like a football player would kick a field goal. This is from Click Orlando. The bird suffered broken ribs, and I would love to get a hold of this dude. A man was upset, a Florida man, about a chicken making a noise. So he grabbed the bird and kicked it like a football player, said Monroe County Sheriff's Office. 43-year-old Nicholas Kevin Chu. His girlfriend called the police. He said he kicked a chicken. She was worried the bird's leg was broken. He admitted it. The Rhode Island red chicken was named Hun. It was found standing nearby on one leg. It had four broken ribs, according to the release. I will eat an animal, but I don't believe in being cruel. I believe in being as humane as possible, right? So I like the whole, field, the table, all that. Stay with us. A lot more.
It's The Dana Show.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So after you burn down your own home, what do you have left but char and ash? CNN? Ted did a great thing. I love CNN. I love Cartoon Network. But I'd like to say to CNN right now, karma's a mother. Stop feeding fear and anger every day. Stop making people feel so fearful. Give them hope. I'm glad they only took down a sign and defaced a building and they're not killing human beings like that policeman did. I'm glad that they only destroyed some brick and mortar and they didn't rip a father from a son. They didn't rip a son from a mother like the policeman did. When a man yells for his mother in duress and pain and she's dead, he is essentially yelling, please God, don't let it happen to me. And we watch that. So my question for us on the other side of this camera is, after it burns, will we be left with charred, or will we rise like a phoenix out of the ashes that Atlanta has always done? Will we use this as a moment to say that we will not do what other cities have done, and in fact, we will get better than we've been? We got good enough to destroy cash bonds. You don't have to worry about going to jail for some petty. We got smart enough to decriminalize marijuana. How smart are we going to be in the next 15 or 20 years to keep us ahead of this curve? Mm-hmm. So that much like when South Africa suffered apartheid, you had Andy and other politicians that could make sure that Atlanta said, Coca-Cola, we love you.
This is
but if you don't
Mike.
Pull out of South Africa, we're going to leave.
This is
we're not going to drink Coca-Cola
Friday
anymore.
Night, right?
Coca-Cola jumped on
he
their
made
side
this remark.
And apartheid ended. So we have an
and what he said
now.
About CNN, because the riot went there, was in Atlanta. It was at CNN right there at their headquarters. They have the biggest building in town. And they have they got some pretty hardcore security to get into. And they defaced the sign, and it was a crazy scene. Welcome back to the show. It's good to be with you all today. We're starting the week out together. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook. DanaLash.com, my latest book, Grace Canceled. So hard to have in these times, but honestly, it's the only real position I think that you can have. I was looking at some of the what George Floyd's family was saying, how his brother was giving a statement to the press saying, he would not want to see this, and he apparently had words for the way that media was covering it too. And I keep saying that I really do believe that the far left is terrified of a rift between Black Lives Matter and Antifa. And that's why the narrative pushback is so hard against the reality, the truth, what you see on video, what you see on photo all over social media, showing these white trust fund looking socialist, you know, hipsters out there engaging in busting up stuff, causing damage. I have so much audio. I just want to give you an example of some of this. Audio of there were protesters, audio soundbite 15, who are trying to get these white Antifa members to stop trying to ratchet up the violence and at these protests. Listen to this one. This is 15. And she's right. And did you hear what they said to her? Well, they're going to kill you anyway. Now, audio soundbite 18, a peaceful black protester catches a white Antifa members spray painting on the front of a Starbucks. There's two peaceful black protesters, and they catch these two white female Antifa members. Listen to this.
Hey, Sadie, look. Please. I want you to know don't spray stuff on here when they gonna blame black people for this and black people didn't do it. If we wanted you to do it, we would have asked. They not gonna show y'all faces when they see that on their building. They gonna blame that on us. Y'all are part of the problem. News come on, they gonna say we did that. We didn't do that. Stuff like this ain't right.
She is spot on. I could sit here and I could play video after video of this for you. I mean, I just ended up to the point where I just stopped sending y'all clips because it was... there are so many of these types of clips, like the white guy that was chipping up sidewalk there, and there were black protesters that came and got these white Antifa. I'm going to tell you again, too, and I'm going to write this up about the site. I'm not even going to hear from, there were only like a couple alt-right people over the weekend who got real mad that I was pointing this fact out. That you have white, predominantly white Antifa. Not to say that there aren't black members of Antifa, and that's not to say that there were not any black rioters or black citizens causing mayhem and burning buildings and also taking part in the destruction. There's a hell of a lot of white Antifa on video. A hell of a lot. And the peaceful protesters grab these Antifa people, like the one where the guy was chipping up sidewalk to hand protesters to throw at the cops. They threw this dude over to the cops. They said, take him. Good on them. Oh my gosh, please tell me you got the audio, because I put it in Slack and I need it. You're gonna have to censor it. But it was the NBA player who, one of these white Antifa dudes came up and busted his, yeah, you guys got it. His busted his, I think, I don't know. Busted his truck window. And he gets out and beats him down in the street. J.R. Smith. He beat him down in the street, and people grabbed him. They were like, wait, no. But he did. He whooped his butt, taught him a lesson. And I love that when everybody was asking for him to give a statement, he's like, okay, you want a statement? Here.
One of these little motherfucking white boys didn't know where he was going and broke my fucking window in my truck. Broke my. This wasn't no this is a residential area. This wasn't no stores over here. No, none of that. Broke my window. I chased him down and whooped his ass. So if the footage come out and y'all see it, I chased him down and whooped his ass. He broke my window. This ain't no hate crime. I ain't got no problem with nobody ain't got no problem with me. It's a problem with the motherfucking system. That's it. The motherfucker broke my window and I whooped his ass. He didn't know who window he broke. And he got his ass whooped. Just so y'all see it later, I'm telling y'all now.
I feel like that scene in the Magnificent Seven, the one that Antoine Fuqua directed, which is brilliant. And it's when they go and meet the bear. You have Denzel Washington leading up this ragtag motley crew of outlaws. He's going to seek vengeance and fight for this town. And they go up out in the woods, and they go, it's Vincent D'Onofrio's character, the bear. And they come across, they're at his cabin, they come across these two dudes who said, yeah, you know, we killed him. And as these two dudes are getting ready to walk off, well, the bear comes out and kills both of them, beats one of them to death. And then he's like, they tried to kill me, and they stole my property, and this was my right. And all of them are, Denzel's like, I didn't see nothing. Is that? And they're all going, yeah, we don't have a problem. I don't have a problem with this. I feel like them right now. I'm like, man's got to do what he's got to do. Play stupid games, win stupid prizes. Telling you. Somebody sent me another video of it's in Minnesota, and it is Antifa people. And it's this Antifa person who gets out of a white Mercedes.
Oh, gosh.
White Mercedes. Oh, my gosh. Gets out of a white. I'm not joking you. They're white trust fund socialists. And there were a couple of alt-right people that got real saucy at me because I guess that you white people do no wrong or something like that. I don't know what that was. I'm like, sit down. I mean, if you feel that your position and your argument is so precarious that you have to defend Antifa, you're not a conservative. Don't even act like it. Unbelievable. And apparently you're not in the best center. You don't want the best thing for the country. You ain't on my side. But I really do believe that the far left is terrified of a rift developing between Antifa and Black Lives Matter. And that's why they're pushing so hard against that when anybody brings it up. And you have so many. It's why they're not showing some of these clips that we are playing for you. They're not showing you on cable news, are they? Have you heard these anywhere else? No, you haven't. Have you seen them anywhere else if you're watching on 248 via Pluto TV in the first? No, you haven't. So I'm looking at this. They have a fear. They do not want that to happen. They want Antifa to antagonize. They want Black Lives Matter got hijacked in Ferguson because the original peaceful protesters who were actually like trying to do good, they get it hijacked by. And here's something else I'm going to tell you. There are peaceful protesters. I am not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm telling you, folks, this is real. Peaceful protesters, they know how to get their neighborhood organized, right? They know how to do the basic, you know, a protest like anybody else does. But they're not professionals. Like these people that get busted from Chicago. They're not professionals. Like the people dropping pallets of bricks randomly around cities. They're not professionals. They're not protesters. They're anarchists. They're far leftists. And they know how to get the media attention. They know how to hijack the movement. They know the tactics to use because that's what they do. Peaceful protesters, that's not what they do. That's not what they focus on. I saw it happen in Ferguson. As I was telling you, they had people go in paying protesters. And when protesters didn't get their paycheck, they protested outside the organizer's office. Look up hashtag cut the check. Google it. And Google M-O-R-E. I forget what it stands for, but it was the office there. Google that. See what you find. So we have a lot still. The blame game to discuss. Because that's what media and Democrats are trying to hurry to. That's the next thing they're trying to hurry to. But how is this going to get solved? That's what we're going to discuss coming up. And you don't want to miss it.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Ooh, gosh. We've got a lot of content here. I'm going to be putting a lot of this up on the newsletter on the site, so make sure you get it. So apparently, because of the quarantine, this is entertainment. A man drank a liter of lemon juice in under 17 seconds for the world record. How? How is that even possible? Like, what? Are you human? He's in Idaho, and he did it because he's crazy. David Rush. He's broken more than 100 Guinness records. Is that to promote STEM education? Okay, so that's a good...
I can't imagine what my stomach would feel like after.
Right? Oh my gosh. Scientists discover the so-called skinny gene. Not J-E-A-N. No, not that. Like the G-E-N-E. They said that they actually now can offer some answers due to research as to why some people can just eat whatever they want and not gain weight. I think some of it's metabolism and it's genetically... It's also grouped genetically. They were studying mice. And they said that they actually were, it's called the ALK gene, and they haven't really known a lot about it up until now. They said the physiological purpose of it always kind of remained a mystery to them, but they tested their theory that diminished levels of ALK are responsible for genetic skinniness. And so they did this experiment with a group of mice in which they deactivated the ALK genes, and to their surprise, the mice dropped weight. And they had the same diet and activity level. They didn't change anything. And they also did this with fruit flies and everything else. So I'm sure that whoever decides to put that into a consumable product will be a patrillionaire, which I don't even think is actually a quantity of money, but I'm just saying. Now, Kane found this, and it's a British. I don't know. Is it a British thing? The candle thing.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe she didn't know how candles work.
So a nursery teacher was left embarrassed after her sister, it's a British publication, publicly shamed her when she got upset that her newly purchased candle had disappeared because she didn't realize that burning it would use it up.
What did she think was going to happen?
It's 2020 and we have people who don't know how candles work.
Right.
She literally had to tell her sister in a text that this is how candles work. And the sister goes, "Are you serious?" And she goes, "Amy, I am serious." And she's like, "Where's it gone? Because I'm confused."
What, do you think candles get bigger when you burn?
Really? Yeah. Oh my gosh. And a girlfriend sends a man's 1967 Chevy Impala to his project to a junkyard while he's traveling. She sounds like the girlfriend from hell. And I mean, it's not my favorite, but it was on Reddit. They put this up on Reddit and the dude had pictures and all this. And he said that, yeah, she took it to a local... She had it taken, everything, the drivetrain, the chassis, everything, to a scrapyard because that was his project. Literally the worst girlfriend ever. So coming up, what are we going to do to get out of this? What are we going to do to deal with this? We'll discuss that. Stay with us.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
In addition to that, this is happening at a time of other injustices. The fact is that the coronavirus...
The Attorney General want to know from Director Wray what the FBI has been doing to track and dismantle and surveil and prosecute Antifa. And if that hasn't been happening, we want to know what the plan is going forward. These Antifa militant radicals who come into our cities and cross state lines, and they're organized and use Molotov cocktails and fireworks and gas to burn down our cities, especially businesses in minority neighborhoods. It's got to be stopped, and we expect law enforcement to get to the bottom of it for sure.
Yep. It's Robert O'Brien saying Antifa has to be stopped, and that is true because, I'm just really interested to see how the investigation into this and what's going to happen now that they've been classified as a terrorist organization. And the statute as it relates to RICO, because that's been used, that was used on Mafioso. But I was thinking of, well, welcome back to the show, by the way, DanaLash.com, at DLash on Twitter, official DanaLash on Facebook. I have a ton of stuff still, and I want to talk about here in just a minute, what are we going to be able to do to get out of this? But a friend of mine, Johnny Joey Jones, was on Twitter, and he was saying that he had a call from a law enforcement friend of his when I and that in L.A., and that Latin Kings had said, well, don't worry about our neighborhood. You know, this stuff isn't going to pop off here or something like that. And everyone was like, can you believe that that? And it is. It's interesting bedfellows when you have, it's not the first time that something like that has happened. And just as a little reprieve, because I'm a huge World War One, World War Two history buff. And one of my favorite stories, in addition to like the Ghost Army and all of that, is the situation where you had Meyer Lansky and you even had Lucky Luciano and all these people in the mafia that were working with the government to protect the harbor on the East Coast, protect ports entry and that. I don't know if all of you knew that. I have like three different books on it. And that is fascinating. It was a secret agreement and they did. They, who better, right? And they worked together and they watched the harbor. They watched New York. They watched in Florida. I mean, they watched all up and down the Eastern Seaboard to keep things protected from the U-boats and subs and, you know, everything else. And that shows you how serious it was. So this, it's unbelievable to see some of this stuff, to see the destruction. And there's a way to handle it, but audio soundbite 17, I want to play the soundbite, this cut from Marco Rubio, actually. This is not the way to do it, and I want you to hear what he has to say, because he made his video statement about everything, and then we'll talk.
Unfortunately, however, while these protesters that are out there to talk about these issues and to point to Mr. Floyd's murder, these protesters have been largely peaceful. They are not the ones looting and burning and hurting people. But something happens at these protests right around sundown. Suddenly, they start to turn violent. And they start to turn violent because some people show up. And they show up with backpacks, and in them they have batons and incendiary devices. We've heard reports of people showing up in trucks to begin to take things out. And that's when the looting starts. That's when the violence starts. Who are these people? Because the real protesters on the ground will tell you they don't know who they are. They've never seen them before. These people are violent domestic extremists. And they range from Antifa groups, who are radical to the left, to some other groups, radical to the right. In fact, groups that I would argue don't even belong on the political spectrum as we know it. And their goal, while they are ideologically opposed to each other, and in fact have gotten into fights against each other at some of these protests, they share a common goal.
I don't know what he's basing this on, but I don't, that's garbage. What do you mean both sides? Look, by all means, if there are crazy, you know, so far right wing people or something like that at this stuff doing this, show me. I have no problem in calling it out. Where is it, though? This is the same crap he did in Parkland. I'm going to tell you this. This is how he handled that. He folds under pressure. Marco Rubio cannot withstand the heat. This is why he would never be president. He folds under pressure. I'll never forget at Parkland when he agreed to universal background checks and spoke out about considering red flag laws. I was in the backstage area at the arena watching him on a monitor. And he just folded. He just caved. And my husband turned and looked at me and said, he just made what you have got to do that much harder. And that was true. That's just garbage. He's trying to do this politician thing, this triangulation. Oh, yes, I got a foot in both camps and I'm trying to appear above it. Marco Rubio does not do triangulation well. That was a Dick Morris tactic when he was advising Bill Clinton. Rubio does not do it well, and it comes across as inauthentic, especially when you're stating this stuff, knowing full well that there isn't anything to substantiate the accusation of right whatever. And like I said, unlike the left, I don't care. show me and I'll call it out. I have no problem with it. I have no problem in calling that out. But to sit here and say, oh, well, it's a both sides thing without any way to substantiate that, that's just, it lacks courage. And it shows that you are too, you want to be popular more than you want to do the ethical thing. It's disappointing. I thought maybe, you know, since that time that I was last around him, he would have found his courage, but clearly he hasn't. It's just ridiculous. I don't honestly know at this point where we all go with it and where it goes. I see the president's response, having the National Guard. I thought what Bernie Kerik said was, it made a lot of sense. You know, that story of Sheriff Swanson there in Michigan. He was also one of the sheriffs who was not enforcing Whitmer's, some of her ridiculous orders. But Sheriff Swanson, the reason that he was able to de-escalate that situation was because he had a relationship with the community. Policing isn't just enforcing the law. Policing is also developing relationships with people in the community and developing this familiarity, which doesn't happen overnight. Where it concerns changes in policing, I think that has to happen. And I also agree with some of the other stuff that I've seen out there where it's been suggested that if police have an encounter or they have a stressful situation that takes place, which all policing is stressful, but you know what I mean, more than usual, is there easily accessible when they need it psychological assistance? You know, they're not, these people who are in law enforcement are not superhuman, more so than anyone else. I think sometimes the courageousness of people who want to do certain things exceeds that of maybe people who don't choose that path. But I'm wondering if any of that is available regularly for law enforcement after, if there's a stressful encounter, instead of just having, you know, suspension, is there, what sort of assistance are they getting? I also think too, that if you're going to impact law enforcement, and we've talked before about encouraging people of every demographic to serve in law enforcement, it's sad though, the way that I see Black law enforcement officers targeted and attacked and ridiculed. Now, how are you going to sit here and say that policing needs to change, and then when you're able to have representation in law enforcement, you ridicule that representation? I there's a lot of things that need to change in it. But look, I'm going to tell you, as I said earlier, I have zero idea, clearly, of what it's like to be Black in America. But I do know what it's like to be concerned about law enforcement. And I'm going to pull this story up for you. I've had a couple of different instances, and this is the Houston police chief. I think I had incorrectly said Austin earlier. Art Acevedo, he's a Houston police chief. He does not like me. Now, keep in mind, police chiefs are politically appointed, whereas sheriffs are elected. And Art Acevedo would threaten me on social media. Every time I criticized him, he would threaten to take me to court. Every time I had even the smallest criticism, whether it was his consistency or inconsistencies or anything, Art Acevedo, he went at me and he threatened me. And we had reached out to him one time to see if he would like to be a guest. And I'm very kind to my guests, even if I disagree with them. I don't do the gotcha stuff. I don't feel like rewarding someone giving up their time to join me on air to discuss things with everybody. I don't believe in rewarding that with rude behavior. That is not in good faith. And we had reached out to him, and he published the email that was sent by one of my producers at the time. And it was simply to ask him, would you like to come on and talk about this issue? And he accused me of harassment because we had reached out in a media capacity. And he said, stop misrepresenting and lying about me. I'm like, I simply was asking you to come on and talk about it. And then he told me that he would be watching me, direct quote, which that's scary. That's a police chief threatening a private citizen, saying, we'll be watching you. I didn't break any laws. Oh, except the law that you can't criticize Art Acevedo. I would like to see that happen. Because I would make a avatar out of bad progressive policing with Art Acevedo. Because, so yeah, I do know kind of what it's like to kind of wonder whether, if I lived in Houston, Art Acevedo would probably have me raided. I have zero doubts about that. So yeah, there are bad cops out there. There are corrupt cops out there. Absolutely, there are cops out there that would abuse their authority. You know, I used to think about that. Like, can you imagine if I lived in, had him for a police chief? Hey, let's do a no-knock raid on Dana Lash and see how that goes. You know, I mean, what in the world? So yeah, I absolutely have concerns about that. That's why when I don't discount at all some of these criticisms that are coming out. And so how are we to deal with this? I think there's been a discussion as to whether or not what kind of punishment or what should we do legally and to hold bad cops accountable? Now, there's this big question of qualified immunity. Qualified immunity is something that protects police from discretionary decisions or actions that they make as they are policing, like in their official capacity as police officers or law enforcement. And unless they actually violate, you know, federal laws, that qualified immunity comes in. Now, there was a piece that was written up over at USA Today that was talking about qualified immunity for police. And even Clarence Thomas, who is the most conservative justice on the Supreme Court, there have been aspects of it that he has criticized. And which is, I have a lot of respect for Clarence Thomas. He said the doctrine of qualified immunity has no historical basis. And he said that in a 2017 case, it routinely substitutes our own policy preferences for them. I mean, he was really critical of it, and others have been as well. I am totally open in exploring that. Now, obviously, people bring up, well, it could be abused again, and it could be used to target it. But at the same time, it's very clear. And I, like, again, in my own experience, can you imagine, you know, maybe how much worse it would be if, you know, you were talking about a black Second Amendment supporter who had a radio show, what that would be like and how they would be targeted. So I see and understand this argument about qualified immunity and being able to hold people who are in law enforcement who are abusing their authority, and when they are and maybe that are acting in a way that without the qualified immunity would get the random person charged with a certain, I just think that everyone should be held to the same standard. Obviously, there are certain exceptions to this, but I do think it's time to have a discussion about qualified immunity. Now, the legal impact, I mean, I think we should bring Andy McCarthy on to talk about that, specifically qualified immunity, because what does that look like? How would that affect policing? I'd like to explore every aspect of it, but I think we got to start somewhere.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's the Dana Show.
Bo Erickson at CBS said that he tweeted, quote, Biden today said, quote, there are a lot of different things that can change, end quote, about police training. One example he said was if cops are rushed by an unarmed person with a knife or something, and the cops could just shoot them in the leg instead of the heart. That's a very different thing, end quote. Oh my gosh, that's like the worst advice ever that you could give anyone. Ever. Stop. All right. Today
that
in stupidity.
That actually could qualify for today in stupidity.
Yeah. It's
but
bad.
It is Bill de Blasio here. And of course, as you know, like any good Democrat, who do you blame when things are going bad?
But I can tell you this, and this is the blunt truth.
Oh, it is.
The President of the United States helped to create this atmosphere. And that's the tragedy here.
There it is. He helped create it all.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. Nothing was fomenting before Trump got into office. Nothing bad ever happened until Trump got into
office.
I know.
It's all him.
There it is.
Folks, I hope cooler heads prevail tonight. And, of course, with our new time, don't forget to join us again tomorrow, 11 Central, 12 Eastern. DanaLash.com. God bless.
It's the Dana Show.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.